Hello, this is John Smallwood from Smallwood Wealth Management, and today we're talking about the 19 sources of retirement income, a guide that we recently produced to help people really understand how to maximize their retirement benefits. The first item on the list is Social Security. One of the most important parts of many people's financial plan, unfortunately, is Social Security. There's some interesting things that I want you to understand as we get into this. One of the most important, last year, this year, 2018, 2019, we reached a record number of people collecting Social Security. 61,859,000 Americans are now collecting Social Security. Today, there are two taxpayers for every one recipient. Between 2022 and 2029, 70% of the baby boomers will turn 65. That's more and more people. Now, this 2-to-1 ratio that we're talking about wasn't supposed to be here for another 8 or 9 years. So we were supposed to have like a 2.5, 2.6 worker. So now we're in a spot where there's less workers paying into the Social Security system, more people collecting, which is what gets people concerned of how will the government pay for the Social Security benefit. One of the most interesting parts of this whole thing is that from the Social Security standpoint, the amount of Social Security, that pie that you're collecting is, you know, could be as much as 33% of an average retiree's net income or gross income. So it's really important to understand how the benefit is taxed, how you optimize that benefit. And there's a lot of information out here, some of it really great, some of it misleading. The goal that we're always trying to focus on is to really understand what it means for you, the individual, not generic information, because so much information, so much financial implementation comes from people listening to something like this, reading something like this, or, you know, the neighbor did it, so it must be correct. And what I want you to understand is that every financial plan is unique to the people that are in here. When we look at when it's unique to the people that are participants in it, you're single, you're married, your family makeup, your current assets, your current liabilities, your future liabilities, things like that in your plan are going to dictate what is best in your plan. One of the most important things that we should be thinking about as we enter this discussion to when should we take Social Security is, you know, the checklist is, how's my health? What's my longevity? Am I going to live a long time? Am I going to live a short time? That's going to dictate when you should take that money. Earned income, my current tax rate, my spouse's benefit, and the survivor benefit. All of these we want to have optimized, okay? So when you start thinking about the maximum Social Security benefit that can be derived in 2019, if you're taking it at your normal retirement age, it is $2,861. That will go up slightly in 2020. The maximum taxable wages that we're collecting Social Security benefits on as your worker is $132,900. So that's at 7.65% of your income is going towards that Social Security. When you're above that, you're not paying in the same rate that you were. You're not paying that rate in anymore. So one of the things that people are talking about is, if the government is having, you know, if the Social Security system is bankruptable, you can raise that rate. You can raise the percentage of the tax that you collect. And this tax is sort of universal. When you start looking at income tax brackets, if your income is below certain levels, you may not pay any federal income taxes. But if you're working, regardless of what you're earning, you are paying the 7.65%. And if you're self-employed, you're doubling that. Okay. So what we want to focus on is this ratio to workers is declining, And as we work into this baby boomer environment, that number is going to compress and compress and compress, putting more and more pressure on the Social Security system. Okay. So for workers and for other people that have wealth, you know, there's a myriad of things out there that people are discussing that could be dangerous to this benefit. One of the things that I think is an important fact to know is that when Social Security was first started in 1935, the Social Security benefit was 65. And the average life expectancy of a person at that point in time was 64 and a half. Okay. Now today it's over, you know, for men it's 78 and age 81. So when they gave the Social Security, they really weren't expecting people to live much longer when they were giving it. Now, also when you first started to receive it, the benefit was completely tax-free back in the day. Now, as much as 85% of it is going to be taxed as ordinary income, depending upon your income limits or your income level, if I say that properly. You know, and as we become older and older, there's more pressure to provide, you know, taxation on this. Now, in this conversation, I'm not going to get into, you know, whether or not it makes sense to defer or not to defer the benefit if I retire early at 62 or we defer my benefit to 70. But there's some unique characteristics that you should understand by deferring benefits. First of all, the full retirement age right now to get that maximum benefit, if you're born in between the years 1943 and 1954, the maximum benefit is 66 years old. 1955, it's 66.2, and to 1959, it is 66 and 10 months. And anybody born after 1960 right now, it is age 67 to collect the full benefits in retirement, which is that $2,800 number that I mentioned earlier right now for 2019, the $2,861 number to get the full benefit. Now, you have the ability to basically take that income early by reducing your benefit, okay? And you can, by taking a reduction of about 6.5% per year, you can take the income earlier. So as you go backwards, you can take it as early as 62, or you can defer it from 67 to 70. And during those 3 or 4 years, depending upon your age, you're actually getting an 8.5% increase. So there's a tremendous incentive for you, the individual, to defer the benefit, get more and more later. And that's kind of what I think the carrot has been dangled out there is defer. Look how much more benefit that you're going to get. And also, depending upon your marriage status, your survivor benefit, it's going to be more also. So if I defer the Social Security till 70 and I die, my spouse is going to either receive their own benefit or take my benefit, whichever one is higher. Either way, the spouse is losing one of those Social Security benefits upon the first death. Now, if you're married, filing a joint tax return and your modified adjusted gross income is below $32,000, the benefit is tax free. When you go from, so that means if I was getting $20,000 a year in Social Security benefits and no other income, I don't have any tax. Once I cross above $32,000, 50% of the Social Security benefit becomes taxable. And when I cross above $44,000, 85% of the benefit becomes taxable. And if you're single, 50% level is $25,000 and the 85% is $34,000. So it's a relatively tax efficient benefit because you're only paying tax on 85%, not the full benefit. But what I want you to start to think about is if I'm going to retire early or at any point in time, you know, before 70, and I have the opportunity to collect $30,000, $40,000 of combined Social Security between my wife and I, and that $40,000 a year of income is coming in, let's assume that I'm above the adjusted gross income levels and taxation is not the issue. But a lot of people I see deferring their benefit. So they're not taking that 40,000, they're taking that 40,000 from their investment portfolio. They're taking it from cash. And they're deferring that Social Security benefit. Now, if I just did that for 5 years, simple math is I've taken $200,000 from my portfolio. Not only have I lost the $200,000, but I've lost the compounding potential, or I have lost the opportunity cost of keeping that capital invested. So you have to think about that in the strategy. Most of the decisions that I see in Social Security basically will compare, if you take the benefit at 62 versus 70, your break-even point is usually about 14 years into retirement or about 77 to 78 years old. And if you live into, you know, to 90, you could have collected by deferring, you would have collected $422,000 more if you waited till 70 and you live to 90. Don't know if you're going to live to 90. Most people that I talk to after 80, what does it really matter? That's funny. I'm trying to be funny here. Okay. But what's not being factored into that calculation is the opportunity cost on the money that you've withdrawn from your portfolio. And if you factor that in, taking the Social Security early is probably a much better strategy. Even if you don't need the money, you could be gifting the money to your family. You could be gifting it to a charity. You could be using it to go on special vacations with your family. You could be stockpiling it for future, you know, future assets, future, retirement offsets. So the Social Security benefit also has an inflation adjustment to it. Last year was about 2%. Some years it's zero. It really depends on what that CPI number is. So the Social Security number that we're really focused on, you know, will the Social Security run out? I don't really think so, but there could be a lot of pressure on other taxpayers to bail the system out. There could be pressure to means test it. There could be pressure, meaning if I have too much income, why do you really need it? Maybe there's delaying the benefit till 75, 80. We don't know that. Now, Social Security, as we move forward into what we're trying to accomplish, is the Social Security is an important part of our society. It helps so many people, you know, live lives where they're being taken care of. And for a lot of people, it helps them stay on the right track, meaning it keeps them, you know, living and buying groceries and doing things. And that's one of the greatest things about the Social Security system, is that if you happen to have a problem in your financial plan and you're relying mainly on Social Security, then this is good. Now, one of the things that I want to focus on is I want you to have not just one source of retirement income, but I want you to have 19 plus retirement income sources. We have a guide that's available called the 19 Sources of Retirement Income that you can download by going to our website, Smallwood Associates, and clicking the 19 Sources of Retirement Income guide, and that will be instantaneously delivered to your email box in a PDF format. If you'd like us to print you a hard copy and mail it out to you, call us at 732-542-1565 and we'll gladly do that. In closing, what I want you to take away from this, just to reiterate it, is Social Security is important. How you optimize the benefit is important, but more importantly, how you optimize your personal wealth is more important. And a good discussion pros and cons with an individual financial advisor who's going to look at the macro picture and provide a big picture plan is one of your most important decisions that you're going to make. I look forward to talking to you about this. If you want to talk to an advisor, you can call and just set up a 30-minute conversation, and one of our advisors will gladly talk to you about your plan and understand what's going on and help you make those right decisions. Thank you for your time.
Welcome to the end of the video. Smallwood Wealth Management is an investment advisor representative. The opinions expressed by Smallwood Wealth Management and guests on this show are their own. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented for this educational purposes only. Moreover, no listener should assume that any discussions or information presented serves as a receipt of or substitute for personalized advice from Smallwood Wealth Management or from any other investment professional, and is not intended as an offer of solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Smallwood Wealth Management is not a law firm or an accounting firm, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as a recommendation appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Thank you for listening.